Hello and welcome to episode number 5 of the Albion Hurricanes podcast. Number 5, we've got there pretty quick. It's exciting times at the moment with a lot going on in the world. So I just want to update you on a few things and then we'll get an introduction with a couple of our coaches. Just bear with me a second, I can hear some seagulls in the background. So we've already got somebody on. I'm not introducing you yet, so keep yourself quiet over there wherever you are. First of all, thanks for the 1,000 listens plus that we've had so far on these podcasts, which is great. And happy Easter to everybody. I hope you had a great Easter. Just an update on some of the social media stuff. We continue to receive a lot of social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter regarding the AHFC at home. We really appreciate everybody doing that. We're basically correlating results right now. We're basically correlating results because we've had a 2-week stint here where we've asked you to kind of send all your stuff in. You get to post, and once you've posted, we've going to correlate about a winner per campus for drawing out of the hat to get you guys a uniforms for next year. So we're going to continue posting every day with different coaches doing skills, and then we're going to be about a week away from when we start a brand new competition with some new prizes. So keep an eye out for that on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as well. Obviously, we're continuing to do Facebook Live. So Wednesdays and Saturdays have been a big success. We've had hundreds of people watching those. Wednesdays at 5 p.m. and Saturdays at 11 a.m. With Shayna doing some great workouts. And then, like I say, we'll have some new competitions coming on starting next week. The other things that we've been doing have been working on the Zoom meetings with our teams, which has gone down a treat. We've had a lot of positive feedback from Zoom. It's great to kind of get all the kids back together and seeing each other's faces. I know the coaches have been working on some stuff. We've been sending out some 3-week workouts for the players as well on the curriculum. And obviously during the week, the coaches are doing some video analysis, sending some homework out to the kids, and then following up with the Zoom meeting. So hopefully you guys are all kind of part of that. And we're good going forward. There's not a lot of updates right now, as you can imagine, on return dates. With the league, we're still as we were looking to return in May. Obviously, as soon as we hear something, we'll kind of update you a little bit more on what's going on there. All right, as you can hear in the background, we've definitely got some callers online who sound like they're outside. So I want to introduce our guest this week. First week, we had Danny Hill on. The second week, we had Mark Horton, our GM, on. And last week, we had some fun with Ben Williams and Josh Gardner, our ECNL and Royals directors, with a little quiz. So we're going to kind of continue that. I think people enjoyed that. And we're going to introduce to you some different staff every week. So I'm going to introduce a couple of staff today, and we'll chat to them for a little while. On board today, from the girls program, Greg Munslow, who is as you may have heard if you were on the quiz last week, is our longest current serving staff member who's still coaching right now. And Greg's been with us a long time. And on the boys' side, we've got Michael Terrell with us, who's worked in a lot of different areas of the club over the last 6 years, from the West program into the Elite program. And he's currently working with the Elite pre-ECNL and ECNL teams as well. So introduction to you guys. Michael, Greg, how are you doing?
All right, Steve, doing well.
Doing well, Steve. How are you doing?
Good, Greg. You sound like you're outside because I've heard seagulls, wind, and everything. You walking the dogs right now?
The seagulls are following the trawler, actually.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, I am outside. I was just doing a bit of yard work. Dogs are already walked. They're already taken care of.
Very good. Very good. Good stuff.
I'm enjoying this sunshine and a lovely day.
It's a very strange, surreal feeling to be outside, and it's like in the 60s at this time of year. It's great, isn't it?
Unreal.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. Well, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about your history and your background and how you got involved with the club, and then we'll have a little bit of fun later on. Feel free to kind of input what you think as we go along with this. So, Greg, we'll start with you real quick. Obviously, yeah, as I mentioned, you've been at the club the longest, from all the way back in 2000 sort of time. What got you involved when you first started over here, and you know, kind of the different hats that you've worn as you've kind of built your way through the club?
So as you alluded to there, Steve, it was actually 2002 February. I came over as a part-time staff, fresh faced, early 20s, and still had hair. A lot has changed since then. But as many people know, especially in the girls' program, that I actually knew Danny Hill from the age of 10 back in the UK. And Danny was already over here. And, you know, we came over to visit. We got chatting. I met Mark. And there were some opportunities to come over. I met Tony as well, who, believe it or not, Tony was still coaching back then. As I said, that part-time position come up. I finished what I was doing back in England, and as I say, took the leap, and from 2002 to the present day, I've been Albion and Hurricanes employee.
Brilliant. And talking about your relationship with Dan, going back to when you were 10, that can be for a stories from that can be for a whole different podcast on a different day.
Yeah, that may not be so PG. I don't know. I can definitely tell you about some of the tests that he failed. because I gave him the wrong answers deliberately.
Brilliant. And Michael, over to you. Obviously, Michael's been with the club and worn a lot of different hats as well, as I mentioned earlier, and has been with the club for 5 or 6 years now. So, Michael, just a little bit of background about when you came over and how you got involved over here.
Yeah. So for me, it's all kind of been by chance. So I was playing back home in England and got recruited in 2006 to come over here and play college soccer in San Antonio. Played there for 4 years, graduated from there, did a graduate degree. And then after that, I was just randomly texting a lad that I know who I knew from back home, who actually lived in Austin. And he'd been up for an interview with Albion. And he said, he said one thing or another, something didn't work out with his visa, but he's whipped it under the thumb. And I think really his missus put her foot down and he wasn't allowed to leave Austin. So he kind of put me in touch with the club. And then from that point, you know, I had an interview, got offered a job. I was still in San Antonio at the time. And then I literally packed up a U-Haul with the little things that I had from college, drove up, had never met anyone, didn't really have anywhere to live, just kind of drove up here on the week later after I graduated and then started from there.
Good stuff. And so as both of you guys, you know, you've been here a while and obviously the club's changed a lot. You know, Greg, you've seen it since it's, like you say, 2002 and, you know, working out of a very, very small facility before it was even, you know, Campbell to kind of where we are now and working in 5 or 6 different facilities and, you know, growing the amount of players that we've got and staff that we've got, you know, obviously building Campbell Road Sports Park. You know, what do you see has changed, obviously, the most, Greg, in the time that you've been here? And, you know, what do you look at now and go, wow, sometimes you sit back and you go, can't believe it's grown to this size, or we've done this job so far.
Yeah, I think it's obviously an unlimited answered question. There's so much has changed, as you said. I think, you know, we had two 11v11 fields, and I think we had a back then was a 9v9 field and a fallow field down at Campbell Road. Sorry, that was Kempwood.
Kempwood.
You know, and then we developed that. It's ironic. We developed that fallow field into another field after removing a car bumper out of the soil. And that was a big deal back then. I think that was probably 2004. Wow, we got another field. Fast forward to today, and now we've got multiple campuses, state-of-the-art facilities. But not just like, not just a field product that we put out there. You know, as you said at the start of the podcast, the social media aspect. The way we can reach and tap into our players and parents, the community. I think, you know, we've revamped sort of the logo over the last couple of years. So, you know, it's just gone from a club, I think about, if I had to guess, probably about 300 kids. And probably most of that was boys back then, to what, 2,000-3,000 kids now. So, I mean, that speaks volumes for itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mike, you obviously, you've been here a while as well. You know, you've seen some different growth. So, you know, what's your thoughts on that?
Probably Greg's belly.
it's a big growth.
No, obviously Greg's seen more changes than me because I came in 2013. What, he was here 2002. Is that right? So I think obviously there's more teams, more staff. One of the things I'd say from when I first came to now, it's definitely a better quality of staff. a lot of different campuses have been added. So there's the Southwest one down in New Territory, Sci Fair. Obviously, we have Carmel Road Sports Park now, the introduction of the boys and girls in the ECNL. We have the football program there. There's a lot of different campuses and, you know, the higher level of play in ECNL. But I think whereas a lot of teams, and I would say probably the majority, if not most of the teams around the area are kind of merged or folded. We've kind of stayed with what we do and, you know, stuck at what we believe in. It's kind of, and it's worked, and I think it's just got stronger each year.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Greg, I know obviously, you know, you've been a big, you know, integral part over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years as we started building a curriculum. I know you've worked with a lot of the central campuses girls and some of the older high school age girls especially. You know, how do you feel as though it's a difficult one, because I always explain this when, you know, when we put this into place, that I think that a curriculum and putting that together for the staff, it takes maybe like 10 years for what we implement to kind of come to fruition when an 8-year-old kid comes in and goes all the way through a curriculum and gets to 18. But you know, what do you see as being the biggest changes with the teams and the sessions with implementing like a curriculum like we have?
I think it's twofold. I think firstly, the kids have bought into it more. You know, we've established something now, which I think the curriculum is what, 3 years old, or maybe four. And you know, those kids have bought into that, and rightly so, because it's proven. Well, the A curriculum is proven for development. But the second thing is the staff have bought into it too. So, you know, it's universal across the club. Everyone works together. I think the staff meetings, weekly staff meetings help. We do the staff training outside on the field, and we get together and share ideas and that kind of thing. And as I said, it just brings everyone into the same sort of focus and say, hey, this is the way we're going. We believe in it. The kids believe in it. And therefore the success will be, you know, well, we've already seen the success from it already.
Yeah, for sure. And Michael, obviously, it kind of just got implemented as you came in, so you'll have some more, you know, thoughts on that as well.
Yeah. I think a few of the positives of it is, you know, if you look at Campbell Road on an evening or Katie Park on an evening, and you have two teams of the same age, and you look at one field and the other field, both coaches are doing the same thing, so the kids are all getting the same product across the board. Obviously, the coach has to know, the main part of it is when to teach and what to teach and how to teach it, so you can't just have a zombie coming in and throwing cones out and doing the session. The coach has still got to know what he's doing, but it allows consistency across the board. The other thing is, you know, obviously a lot of coaches have a lot of teams. So if there's coverage on a weekend and perhaps a team doesn't have their core coach, it's better than what it used to be in terms of that coach covering will now know what that team has been doing and what topics. So they've got notes going into the game on what they've been doing and what they're looking for on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been great. So it's a good start, but we've got to keep tweaking it and keep implementing things and keeping that moving forward. Question for you both, because you both work with, right now, you both work with older players. I know Greg has worked with a lot of high school age girls, especially at the Central Campus for a long time, and seen a lot of players come through. And obviously Michael's currently working with a couple of older ECNL groups and some of our graduating elite groups. Greg, I'll let you go first. You want to talk a little bit about college opportunities for some of our players and how that looks? I know it's really different on the girls to the boys, with opportunities closer to home and things, but I know obviously on the girls there's a lot of opportunities for our girls, and you know, it's not just down to our ECNL groups, you know, our ECRL, our elite, our campus teams, you know, there's lots of opportunities for them as well.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think the misconception is the top team always gets the looks. And, you know, as you alluded to there, Steve, there's so much opportunity on the girls' side for college opportunities at pretty much every level. I think, you know, having worked with the last, I think, 3 or 4 years of seniors, those kids that wish to go and play in college have had that opportunity through our programme. You know, and it's just a case of educating those players in the sophomore and the freshman sort of age group to say, hey, there is opportunity there, and this is what we do, and this is what the club's sort of pathway is for you guys. It's not just because you're on this team or that team. It's saying, hey, we're going to this showcase. We run our own showcase. We do opportunities up in Dallas and the likes of with those teams. So, we give them as much exposure to that opportunity as we can. And as I said, as we gradually get the information out, the mindset changes. It's not a case of, oh, it's always the top team that gets the exposure. Everyone does. And we've had quite considerable success at the campus level, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously from Michael's end, you know, he's had some success with some of our elite boys, our current, you know, O2s and that are going to play collegiate soccer. And he's also working with our ECNL groups. And so, I mean, Mike, it's not that long ago, seems a while, but you played collegiate soccer. So, you know, how do you think that level is on the boys' side and obviously those kids getting opportunities at some of those colleges?
Yeah. So I think the good thing about me was, you know, I initially came over here back in 2006 to play in college. So I'm aware of the level around Texas. And then once I played the 4 years and graduated, I was then the graduate assistant. I did a graduate degree. So I was the assistant coach of the college while I studied. Obviously, during that time, I was able to play against a lot of clubs around Texas and build up some contact, which has served very well when I came to Albion, because I'm able to use those contacts and, you know, reach out to them, send kids away on ID camps through the spring and the summer. But also what we do a good job of every spring season, you know, it's the kind of the college off time when they're only training, they're not in season. So during the spring season in the past 3 to 4 years, or probably more, we've managed to get in a lot of different college coaches from those guys that I know around Texas and from other contacts we have, and have them run sessions with the boys as well. So not only are they able to see them in a showcase environment and in an ID environment as well, but they're also, you know, each spring we get in 5 to 6 college coaches to come in and run training sessions and see the boys in their natural environment as well. So it's good in terms of building up contacts for them, not just with the top teams, like Greg said, but with the campus teams as well, you know, and start that process early.
Yeah, good stuff. Question for you both, and maybe it's if you could put some advice out there right now, and I've kind of thrown this one at you without having it up on the things I was going to ask you today, but you know, I don't want to talk politically about obviously what's going on right now with the pandemic and things like that. And I know this is a really changing environment, but if you had any advice right now for parents and for kids, Greg, at home, of what, you know, what they should be doing or what they can be doing, apart from obviously following along with our stuff, you know, what kind of advice would you give them from a soccer point of view to keep kind of motivated and working?
I think the biggest opportunity we've been given here is the opportunity of creativity. And by that, players are obviously isolated, schools done at home, there's certain hours that they're on computers, but there's also certain hours where they can get a ball out and do some me and my ball kind of thing. And it gives them a chance to work on something, such as I had one yesterday. I want to master the rainbow. And people might look at that and go, well, how does that pertain to the game? Well, you may not do the rainbow of the game, but it's something that a kid's got a bit of constructive or like some idea or some creativity that they want to work on. And it's going to work on their eye-foot coordination, juggling and everything else. So I think that's the biggest opportunity that we've been given out of this, where players can come up and be creative and maybe do a little bit.
Greg, we're losing you a little bit, Greg, I think, like,
because we've done this week on the Zoom reports.
Absolutely. We're losing you a little bit, Greg. There, I don't know if you're potting around your garden into a dead zone, but we're losing you a little bit. We got most of that. Michael, obviously, you know, along with working with some of the older players, you also work with some of our younger players. You know, what are your, I mean, great points, Greg. What are your thoughts, Mike, on what these kids can be doing at home as well?
What I've told my players is, There's like Greg said, there's time that you get now that perhaps you wouldn't get in the season when you're at school and, you know, back to a normal routine. So, you know, there's no reason why an individual, you can't come back whenever we return. You can't come back a better player than when we broke up. So, you know, if you go out every day now and spend 20 minutes on your weak foot, for example, that's going to become a lot better whenever we get back on the field. So it's just, you know, we're trying to keep the kids motivated, setting them different challenges, setting them daily exercises, Zoom calls. Obviously, nobody wants to be in the situation they're in now, but there's a lot of positives that can come out of it. And for the kids, like the O5s that I coach and the O2s and the O3s, it's easily possible that they can come back in better shape than when they left. Obviously, not match fit, but they can come back a lot sharper and their general conditioning can be better. And for those older kids that I coach, the ones who have college aspirations, you know, they can really focus on their education now and use this time. So I've got a Zoom call tonight with one of the older teams that I have, and I actually have a college coach coming on there to talk to the kids about what they can be doing right now. And you know, education is a massive part of it, not just for the older kids, but the younger kids as well. Putting game footage together and really using this time wisely, and not you know, looking at it as an opportunity for growth rather than a disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think we've mentioned a couple of the other podcasts, you know, you hope that, you know, we're seeing so much of the players at home going outside and in the backyard, or you know, in the street or whatever it is, or inside and just touching the ball. I think 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I think a lot of us grew up doing that. And that's, like Greg said, that's kind of where the creativity comes in, because you're emulating what you see with players in live games. Not that we can see live games right now, but you know, you're taking the time to emulate some of that stuff and work on stuff individually and find ways to work your technique. I think that actually helps at times. So, you know, hopefully, like all three of us have said, there's some positives that come out of this, that we can continue to do some of these things after we can get back out on the field. All right, good. Well, I appreciate your time, guys. So, a couple of questions for you, because we've done this with everybody, and then a little quiz to finish off with. And I'll just bounce these backwards and forwards. Good to get to know the staff and kind of where they're from and the background a little bit, and you know, some of the teams that they support. So, Greg, favorite team?
Serious? Wolverhampton Wanderers, 100%.
Wolverhampton Wanderers. That's the second time in five podcasts we've had that mentioned. Obviously, we've had Danny Hill on, who's the same.
Newcastle United. That's where I'm from, so there's no choice.
Both, you know, but this, I mean, we'll see what happens this year. You know, another talk is that might come back in June, and they might play behind closed doors. But Greg, positive season for Wolves so far. You know, they're doing well, playing well. And obviously, Michael, from your end, the news that Newcastle might be in the middle of a takeover right now with some money coming in.
Yeah. So it's Newcastle fans it's like being on a roller coaster. That's up and down. And you know, the last few years has been disappointing, but yesterday it was announced that one of the richest men in the world is about to finalise a takeover with the club, which would make Newcastle the richest club in the world. So could be another Man City on the cards. I think we could be seeing a lot more people wearing black and white shirts around the world.
And Greg, Newcastle was playing well before it all kind of stopped for a while.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Nuno's come in. He's coming with some good ideas. I think there's always a panic with second season syndrome in the Premier League, but we were holding our own. I think we were fifth before everything kind of shut down and into last 16 in the Europa Cup. So new adventures for us. As a Wolves fan for 41 years, I'm still expecting the bubble to burst at some point. But hey, fingers crossed, we keep improving.
Yeah. Greg, favourite coach? It could be somebody current or somebody from the past, somebody that you maybe, you know, have found something to model what you do on.
Well, that's a toughie. It's certainly not Danny Hill, because when we played in the high school, he wouldn't head the ball as my centre-half partner because his hair was too slick. So he didn't do anything to improve me as a coach. I'm just joking. I don't know, Steve. That's a tough one. I think the modern-day coach, when you look, you know, Jurgen Klopp, for one, has done an exceptional job at Liverpool. I just mentioned Nuno as a new style type coach, where he's got a system and he makes his system work. I like those type of coaches. But of course, you don't always get given the time at clubs, because instant success is what's needed. But I think when you give a little bit of time to a coach and you see them be their self, they shine through. So for me, those would probably be the two coaches, Klopp and Nuno.
So, Mike, from your end?
Yeah, I think Bobby Robson. He's obviously from Newcastle. And he's worked all over the world. If anyone hasn't seen it, there's a documentary on Netflix about Bobby Robson and his career, and it's absolutely amazing. Just how motivated he is, how inspiring he is, and how, you know, he just loves the game, and it transfers onto the field with his players. I think right now in the current game, if I was to play for anyone, it would probably be Jurgen Klopp. Again, just his passion for the game, his motivation, and the connection that he has with his players. It looks like everybody would run through a brick wall for him. And I think that's something that I try to do with our boys. And those two coaches are definitely examples of that.
Yeah, good stuff. One more question, and then we'll move on to the most important bit, the quiz. favorite player? He can be a current player, somebody that you look at right now who's playing that you go, wow, you know, I see a lot in him, and I think he's a great player, or somebody that from the past that you watched growing up that you admired. Greg?
Oddly enough, and I never play this position, but I like centre midfielders. Oh. And there was a midfielder for Wolves called Paul Cook in the early 90s who was unbelievable with his left foot. But he never really transpired out of the Wolves group to anything higher. I think he played for Coventry in the Premier League. Paul Gascoigne, without doubt, has been the best English player in our generation. I love Paul Gascoigne. In fact, I watched a documentary on him the other day. Fantastic. My other one would be Roy Keane. I thought Roy Keane as a player, very inspirational, hardworking, led by example. So three centre midfielders for me in there.
There you go. And I've seen you play centre midfield in Dog Reg. See how you modelled your game on them. So
that was going to be my answer. I think seeing Greg indoor, like the right back, trying to do all
of that. I'm still trying. Remember, right before week, so
hey, we've seen you on the Facebook Live, Greg, getting your motivation going and building that six pack. I've seen it.
I am as lean as I've ever been.
There you go. Good stuff. And then Michael, favorite player growing up or currently right now?
Yeah, my favorite player ever is Zinedine Zidane.
It's not a bad one, is it?
Just the way he plays. You know, he's obviously played a little bit on the edge, I think, in his final game. Didn't he get sent off in the World Cup final, I think?
He did, yeah.
But just how clever he was. He was just, you could find space anywhere. It just looked like he was just gliding at times. Central midfielder, creative, technically excellent. In the current game, it would probably be Kevin De Bruyne. And, you know, he's, I'd say, a similar style of player. Very creative, lots of assists. You know, always aware of what he's going to do before he gets the ball, and just makes the game look really easy. Yeah. Very intelligent.
Yeah, for sure. Well, excellent, guys. Well, I appreciate all the feedback and the comments. So on to the most important thing. We started this last week. It was the boys versus girls quiz.
And that's the real quiz.
The boys won last week. It was Josh versus Ben, and Josh beat Ben out. Ben complained that it was down to the fact that he wasn't old enough to remember a lot of this stuff. So we did a little bit of Albion quiz last week. I think the Albion stuff would be a little bit unfair this week with Greg basically creating the history himself, giving me all the answers. So we're going to go with a Premier League quiz this week. And the one we had last week was you shout out boys or you shout out girls if you know the answer, and then you get the first chance. And there's five questions. If we need to get to the fifth one, there's a decider on the fifth one. So, Greg, you need to win this for the girls because you've got to play. You're playing catch up. You're 1-0 down right now. So five questions. So what Ben tried to do or Josh tried to do last week was don't just shout out boys straight away and then have 15 seconds. I'll pass it over to the other person. All right. So five questions about the Premier League, and it's all pretty recent stuff. So I'm not delving back into the 1990s when Greg had hair. You know, we're going reasonably current. All right, here we go, guys. Boys or girls, shouting it out. Here we go. First question. If you remember back in 2012, very painful day for me being a Man United fan when Man City won the league with that famous Aguero goal on the last day. Who were they playing that day?
Boys.
Boys. Michael called boys quickly there.
QPR?
It was QPR. Oh.
Can I get a bonus saying that Man United away at Sunderland?
Man United were away at Sunderland, you're
no
right.
Bonuses. No Brucey bonuses.
No bonuses. Give you half. How about that? So that was a good. That was the right answer. All right. Second question. All the stadiums currently in the Premier League, which has the smallest attendance?
Girls. Cute. It's Crystal Palace.
It's not, no.
Oh.
You can keep guessing.
Southampton?
Ooh.
No.
No.
The teams now, the pressure's getting
in.
Bournemouth?
Yes. Ooh. Bournemouth. Yes. One all. All right. Getting close now. All right. Next question.
One and a half.
You got your phone out. You just Googled it?
Yeah. You two had time to Google that one. It took that long to answer.
I really did not Google.
So at least you weren't as bad as Ben Williams last week, who didn't know that Croatia played in the final of the World Cup in the last few years. So anyway, all right, next question, one all. Next question. in the Premier League, how many teams are currently in London?
Boys. Five.
No.
Girls six,
he's right. Greg's got it.
I was going to say six,
isn't it? Six. Yeah, girls. Well, yeah. 2-1 right now out of the girls. So, Michael, you need this to bounce it up here. If the league finished today, who would be the current top scorer?
Girls.
Salah. No.
Boys. Jamie Vardy.
Vardy's got it.
Oh, it is Vardy. It is.
Jamie Vardy. It's 2-2. All right, this is a decider. All right. I was going to say which is the biggest attendance. And then I thought that would be pretty obvious with it being Old Trafford. So that's why I picked the smallest attendance. So you're going to give me a number, all right? And the girls, we'll decide. Well, how am I going to decide who goes first here? Because it's easy. We'll come up with it. This is a question. What is the average attendance in the Premier League last year? So if you take everybody's attendance from Man United, who had, 76,000, and Bournemouth, who had like 12 or 13,000, what do you think the average attendance was in the Premier League last year over the whole season?
47,500.
47,500, says Greg.
Are we talking this season?
Last season,
okay.
So that did include Tottenham last year, who were at Wembley. But Greg's, anyway, Greg's going to be 47,500.
And Mike's Googling this. Come on, answer.
47,499.
Oh, yeah, that game on you, Greg. So the question is it over or under 47,500?
It's price is right rules. You can't go over.
Right rules. It is. You've both gone over because the answer is 38,168. So, with that, the boys pulled another victory out. 2-0 now at the boys. I don't know who we're going to have on next week to pull the girls back into this. But that was a good one. So, listen, guys, I appreciate your time. I hope you're all well. And, I know you guys are doing a lot of work with your teams and keeping in touch with them all and the families and making sure things are running along smoothly. So, Greg, get back to your pottering around your garden. And I appreciate you calling. It's good to hear from you as well. And we'll speak to you guys very soon. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you.
Cheers.
Yeah.